Our speaker today is Arnie Leppert. Arnie came to Oregon from North Dakota as a young boy and grew up in Portland's wartime housing ghetto located in Gilds Lake, what is now the industrial area of Northwest Portland. Arnie became a teacher and later a principal at John Ball, Portsmouth, and Chapman schools. He graduated from Portland State and went on to earn master's degrees in special education and school administration at the University of Oregon. At the Oregon Department of Education, Arnie worked to allocate federal funds for Oregon school districts. After quote-unquote retirement, he was a consultant for Seattle Public Schools. Arnie is also a retired Air Force colonel with 38 years of service. He is a proud founding member of Camp Rosenbaum, a week-long kids camp at the beach for at-risk children from several counties around Oregon. And for the last 10 years, Arnie has volunteered with Faith Cafe, a full meal service for homeless folks on Sundays at Bethel Congregation in Beaverton. Welcome, Arnie Leppert.
It's great to be here. This is an opportunity for me to give a personal thanks to you, this congregation, for stepping up in light of your mission statement I just read. Together we plant seeds of inspiration, grow in compassionate community, bloom with service to the wider world. You folks bloomed a few months ago. And let me tell you how. I am a shirt tail relative and a very proud one of Joanne Nordling. And In our conversations, she learned that Faith Cafe, where we feed homeless on Saturdays and Sundays, that we were really short on blankets. Now, we make our own blankets, and I'll explain that a little bit later, but we were shy. And I told her the story of a young gentleman named Eric, who was part of my little congregation of homeless folks. And we gather every Saturday, Sunday at Bethel Congregational Church in Beaverton, where we pay rent. We're not congregationalists. We're there on a 501c3 program. And the blankets were really in need. Well, Joanne said, "Give me one of your blankets." I gave her the blanket, and later I found out she took the blanket downstairs to your social time, coffee time, and wrapped the blanket around her and had a big, large number 10 can and said, "This can's for Eric." And Eric, this young man, froze to death in Beaverton, Oregon. And I don't apologize for getting emotional about this. The only thing I apologize for is if you can't understand me. And Eric passed away in a tin shed, a tin storage shed in downtown Old Beaverton, the old neighborhood. That's wrong, folks. That's really wrong. So she dedicated that can to Eric. And with the blanket around her, she approached all of you. And you responded. Bloom was service to the wider world. You bloomed. And I'm just here to say thank you. The spirit of Eric goes on. We have a little small picture of him in our little storage closet where we rent the space. Anyway, this is from me to you, from Faith Cafe to you. Thank you. Thank you very much for being who you are and for having a mission statement like this. I have to explain. I'm no authority on homelessness, not at all. I'm simply a volunteer, and when I can no longer do construction work for needy folks. When that day comes, and every one of you old guys out there is going to experience this, when the left foot won't go up on the scaffolding, it's time to quit. And when I found that I could physically no longer go up the scaffolding and put on siding and do those kinds of things, I was recruited for the Oregon Food Bank, where I did nothing but, turn the stuff over. I was a laborer with capital L, and I got recruited by one of the other folks there for Faith Cafe. It had just started. So I went, I enjoyed it. I've been there ever since, been there 10 years. And it's a very simple program. We formed a 501c3 Faith Cafe, and our goal is to feed those that need a meal, and we'd feed anybody, Bill Gates or whoever walked through the door. And that's how we met Eric, and he was such a kind man. We have a lot of folks that are disabled in wheelchairs or walkers, and he was always there to assist and to walk them home to their room or apartment in that particular area. But it sounds a little down, a feeding program, but there's good news here, and it's time to move our targets on to some other areas. Faith Cafe is, we always fed over 100 people every meal. And the little special room in the church was always jammed. And now we're lucky if we can get maybe 70 on an average. So what happened? And it's not really a mystery. Economic conditions got better. That has to be play some kind of role in it. Actually, people found work. We have a little side deal where we try to find work for our guests. And that has worked somewhat. So things are better, and we have to assume that this is a good thing. I wanted to show you a little map. If you're colorblind, you're in trouble. Anyway, this is a pin map that we put together just to give an idea of where are these people. So when they came one Sunday, I just said, "Hey, take a pin and stick it where you think you live." And we're not talking total accuracy here. And this is it. The green and the black represent our people. This is Beaverton. Excuse me. And here's the Willamette River. And here's Eastside Portland. Isn't that interesting? We have so many coming by bus and max to our feeding site. And we had it on the trail here way out. But unfortunately, that place was cleared out, or had to be cleared out. We also provide clothes. You know, I'm really one for religious organizations, broad term, to work together to make something happen for good. And one of our supporters, amongst many, is the Mormons, the LDS folks. So they give us a large grant, and we put that out in form of vouchers for clothes. And they get great use right here, and this is kind of the Mormon Goodwill Center, if you will. And they can get work clothes, and if they're hopefully going for a job interview, they can fix them up with a good shirt and pants and so forth. Now, the other thing is we have a haircut service at our place, and we think that's great. You can take a homeless man, give him a haircut, and he looks like a CEO. It's great. We work on jobs, as I said before. We do a referral service on things they need. This last Sunday, it was glasses. Gentleman lost his glasses in the woods. Well, where are they living? Well, you can't see it, but there's a big string there on Beaverton Creek. You know Beaverton Creek, right in the middle of Beaverton? Well, not so much right in the downtown area, but as you follow the creek west, campsites all through there. And they tell me, it's kind of a secret. They don't pass this out to just anybody. There's a new spot, and it's out by the airport. You familiar with the canals that ring the Portland airport? There they are. You have to look closely between the industrial sites, but there are campsites there, and that seems to be the new spot for those in need of that. Well, we had a lot of homeless in the years gone by. Now, out of 70 people, maybe 7 or 8 are truly homeless. And that means no roof over their head. So we are in the blanket and the tarp and the rope business. When Harbor Freight has a sale, I'm there. Why do you need so many? Because, frankly, they steal from each other. You're in a survival mode. You're going to take it if you need it. And that's what happens. So I usually get the thing, Arnie, someone copped my blanket. Okay, we'll get you a new one. We're aligned with another non-religious outfit called the Aloha High School Auto Training Program. And I think that's really neat because the kids in that program take the blanket material off the roll, cut it up. My wife taught them how to sew, and they sew the binding on the edges. It's a great blanket. It has plastic between the two layers. And so it's a desirable blanket for outside. I have the boys themselves give the blankets away, and girls give the blankets away, so they get that feeling of giving something that's needed to a person who needs it and look them in the eyes. And that's another lesson that I hope is perpetuated by the program. And certainly you folks and Joanne certainly stepped into that role. I'm certainly not any kind of authority on homelessness. My only view on that comes from my experience with them. So if it doesn't fit what you read in the paper, that's fine. I have no authority or no experience with downtown. But I'm scanning the audience to see if one of my friends is here who likes to take me on. And he does. He runs a program downtown. And sometimes I think we work in two different worlds. He has a large program downtown. I think it's sponsored by the Presbyterian Church. And he would have over 500 people in and out of his program on 13th Street. He claims he saw the light. He doesn't do that anymore. He calls it tough love. And you can't get into his program, get out of the weather, whatever you need. Oh, and he always proudly claims the only toilet between the river and the Westfields, a public toilet. And you have to sign up for it in his program. Anyway, he started locking the door, and he wouldn't let people in unless they committed to a program. And the program being, you got to get your GED, some basic things. And that works. So he's working with 15 people on bettering themselves instead of providing coffee, as he said, and a place to sleep during the day. It's another approach, and we'll see how it works. In that particular pin map, the red pins right here represent our two programs, the red and the red. Now, it started 12 years ago, and there was no place to get a hot meal from downtown Portland to Cornelius, way out here. And in 10 years, you can get a meal every day of the week, except for Wednesday, on the west side. My police friends say there's 11 places on the east side where you can get a meal. Well, we've helped start other places, other food service places, and they've gone beyond us. They do pedicure services. When you have trouble with your feet and you're outside, you're in trouble. They have showers. They have laundry facilities. This is a brand new one way out in Tigard, and by a new startup called Just Compassion. May I borrow my coffee? I'm getting really dry up here. Thank goodness you have good coffee. They're going to be a player. You always say, well, who's got the money? Who's backing it? And you don't find out these things until much later because these people they don't want to be recognized. But they're playing a big part in our new program called Family Promise. So my point is, you can get a haircut, you can get advice on Social Security, you can get advice on signing up for food stamps. You can get a good nutritious meal as best we can prepare. By the way, the food comes from the Oregon Food Bank. Therefore, we're a government agency and have to certainly comply with federal regs. A lot of these startups among the six other feeding sites aren't. They're doing it on their own congregational money. Anyway, Just Compassion's going to be a player. Now I find out that they were behind the money to make the winter shelter in Beaverton a reality this winter. Mayor Doyle and I have a real problem, or we did, because I didn't feel like he was providing the kind of leadership and direction that Beaverton needed. It's so interesting that Lincoln City, Salem, Forest Grove, Hillsborough, Tigard, all have this relatively new program to us called Family Promise. My point is, we've got the feeding program down. You can get a meal every day of the week, except Wednesday, and we're working on that. So what's next? You take care of the basic needs, food. Well, obviously, the next thing is a place over their heads, a roof. Some place of safety. That's why I like the little house programs, and I'm sure you've read about them, so much. It's not so much that you got these walls, but it's that lock on the door. Because they can go there, and they lock that door, and there's a sense of security that they don't have when they're swinging in a hammock under the bridges. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about some of those folks that are under the bridges that I see every day, every Saturday and Sunday, and start with Allison. Allison is, she's proud to say, is 68 years old, and she has lived in her car in Beaverton for as long as I've known her. And recently she lost the car. I don't know. But now she's, you know, the typical lady with the overloaded grocery cart. And here she is living on the streets. She tells me, I live I have two places to live. It all depends on which way the wind is blowing. Well, think about it. Yeah. You're not going to get in a spot where you're going to get caught by the wind, right? You're outside. So she's got a choice, depending on the wind. Well, here's this lady in that kind of a condition. And when I gave her a new tarp the other day, what did I get back? A formal thank you note. Thank you. Beautiful handwriting. Obviously, she grew up in the era of Palmer handwriting teaching, and beautiful flowing letters. Well, she can do that while she lives outside. Amazing. She's had a couple of opportunities, but she said, I don't want to leave the Beaverton area. They gave me a room. I could get a room, 8x10, in West Lynn, but I don't want to go there. So it's their choice. George, handicapped, worked in a packing plant for handicapped people. And he had a problem. He had a pickup truck that wouldn't start, and he sleeps in the back of the pickup truck. Well, this was our first venture with the Aloha High School Auto Program, and my wife volunteers there for the paperwork, and I don't know anything about cars, but something about kids. And those kids, we took the two sharpest kids, and we made it our outdoor fix-it program. And so you got to go where the car is, obviously. And here I've got these two student technicians, both 18 years old. And we went to the pickup, and they met me there. And I'm only there for legality. I'm there for adult supervision, and sometimes the adult can be questioned. Anyway, you know, I'm praying in my own way when they approach that pickup truck. And they follow this correct procedure. The truck starts. Great. Wonderful. So we changed that man's life. Now he's got a car, and I asked him the other day, how's it going with the pickup? Oh, that's great. I hope you have a sense of humor. Anyway, it's just a wonderful change in my life. The only the biggest thing is I traded it in. So he traded it in. He got a better used pickup. And he says, now I'm really swinging. I got this lady I invited. So now I have a lady sleeping in my car with me. So kind of your, you know, it's your sense of value here. I'll leave it with you. Anyway, so I congratulated him, and he's really happy. So good. The next one is Jake. Jake is really interesting. By the way, our program is pretty popular with the LGBT community, and Jake happens to be of that persuasion. And Jake is about 6'6". He lives underneath the east end of the Hawthorne Bridge. He always makes it very clear to me, I'm on the east end. It's a status thing. I hope you got a sense of humor for this one, too. We do have problems every now and then. We have people that are angry. And sometimes it explodes at Faith Cafe. Sometimes I need a man behind my back, and Jake is always there for me. But you have to picture Jake, 6'5", big, burly guy, and he's always there for me. Jake's a cross-dresser, and he brings enlightenment and wonderment to our audience. And Jake, as a bouncer wearing his off-the-shoulder red cranberry blouse, is kind of an interesting thought. But anyway, he does the job for me, and he always says, I got your back. By the way, I brought a whole bunch of street routes for you, and he's a contributor. And I understand I put all my handouts on the table out there, so you can have access to any of them. Anyway, he helps with the publishing of street routes, and I'm sure you know about that, and the daily paper, which he sells downtown. So he does have a basic income coming in, but he's a veteran, and I've been trying to get him lined up. The next example of the folks we work with is a veteran, 6 years United States Navy, honorable discharge. And I have a little problem with the Veterans Administration because they have nice offices downtown. But the problem is not there. Its problem is Beaverton Creek. So, anyway, where are you going to meet with the individual who needs help and the young lady downtown in her nice office? Well, we've got them to come together and meet in front of the Beaverton Library. And that's where we negotiated what had to be done to get his paperwork ready for housing through the Veterans Corporation. So that happened, and now he's a happy man. Whenever I see him, he doesn't want to talk about his situation, like most of them. They want to talk about Trump. You know, it's a real... that can be a problem if you've got anybody of the opposite view. That's when I need Jake. Well, my point is, you get haircuts, pedicure, meals. It's not roses. You got to go to these places. We can get clothes through LDS. We can get all kinds of services, but that one thing that we do, that we have to keep working on, is a roof over their heads. Now, what kind of program would that be? Well, it's a program that's in 200 cities. Forest Grove has it, Hillsborough has it, Tigard has it, Lincoln City, Salem. They all have this particular program called Family Promise. And I've been on the road talking to churches in the Beaverton School District attendance area. What we need from you is space. Are you talking to the pastor about giving up space in their church? Whoa. You know, the answers are, hey, we got Boy Scouts. You know, we can't do anything. We got activities here. Well, I'm not going to put Boy Scouts versus homeless, but I kind of wonder about their priorities. And I've been here. And you have a new pastor. And the new pastor had Family Promise in her prior church. I wanted so much to talk to her because I'm a rookie. I don't know the ins and outs of that program. She's experienced, and I would really like to talk to her. But the answer is, come back a little later when you're a little more established. Well, we're getting established. Part of the model isn't anything new. In fact, your downtown Unitarian Church has it. It's a day center, and it's a day center for homeless families. So you should be proud that your folks are stepping out there, and the homeless folks that inhabit that day program come from the Methodist Church just up the street from you on 18th and Jefferson. They're at overnight with the Jefferson Street people. They walk down to your church, and the day. The purpose being that you can't help them if you can't find them. Basic. So that way, the services that are available, and believe me, there's a lot of them. Take a look at those street route catalogs I have out there. They're old ones, but they will give you the idea. We've got resources out the gazoo, but you have to put those resources together with the person who needs it. Well, that's what the day center is for. We just got our day center, Sunset Presbyterian, the large mega church out on Cornell Road, opted to open up part of their church for that kind of housing. So we're really pleased with that, and now we have to go after the really hard part, and that's overnight space. Well, you got liability issues, you know, all of that. It's all there. But they can be dealt with. 200 other cities have dealt with it. We can, too. Anyway, I want you to know about that. I want the good news being, you know, we're not roses, but we've come a long ways from what was to now. And when I come back, and I will, if I get by your church secretary, is she here? Yeah. Church secretaries are wonderful. They're so good at what they do. And they screen the pastor. Don't let these yahoos get in there and take her time. Well, at this point in time, I'm not branded, you know. I'm a yahoo. Who the hell knows who Arnie Leppard is? You know, is someone here to make me feel guilty? Anyway, I'll be back, and I'll be talking with her again, because we've made progress. I hope that, and I have the handouts for you they will be available to you to answer any of your questions. I'm going to stay for coffee time, I would be glad to visit with each and every one of you, and I'll stay as long as you want me to. But get the idea that we've made progress. We are feeding people. People can get a meal. Okay, next. What's next? The roof. And we're going to keep hammering on that until we can get it done. And how am I doing on time?
I was just going to say, for a number of years, my dad was director of the Veterans Administration for Oregon. After he retired from that, he became a Veterans Service Officer for Washington County. I chatted with them this last week at Washington County Fairgrounds because they had a thing there. There's now 4 Veterans Service Officers. While my dad was there, he would always hand his business card out anytime he saw somebody with a sign that said, homeless veteran. So they're available too without having to go all the way downtown Portland for it. So I don't know if you knew that. But
that's great. Yeah.
They're, like I said, I think there's 4 of them now, and they're just right downtown Hillsboro. So yeah. They've generally been pretty good.
Well, my card will be out there, so have your dad pick up one of those cards.
He passed away a number of years
ago. Oh, I'm sorry. I would like
a resource.
Communication between those resources and our people. And that happens every Saturday and Sunday. They're there.
I know you said you weren't an authority on homelessness, but I know you said you weren't an authority on homelessness, but my sister and I are kind of authority, we're homeless right now. And I just want to say that if you want to help homeless people, like the best thing you can do right now is to vote against anything that's going to criminalize homelessness. Because I cannot tell you the number of times we have been kicked out of places.
Go with you, take your time.
For being homeless. I cannot tell you the number of times I have gotten in trouble at work for being homeless. Just always vote against it. I don't care what the repercussions are, vote against it because it hurts people. It hurts people.
Thank you. I appreciate your openness and your honesty. And the congregation, it's up to you. Homeless service to the world. That's the world right there.
Hi, I'm Kate, and I have the privilege of serving as the community minister associated with this congregation. Prior to that, I worked at First Unitarian and at First United Methodist, and I'm actually the person who started the shelters. So I can't tell you how happy I am to see you here, to hear you. And I want to just lift up that you have the absolute right heart for this work. I want to support it. I know, I just want the congregation to know that it seems like a really huge thing, but we're talking about lives. And it has been my experience that when we start, oftentimes when we think, how can we help persons without homes, we think that it's us helping others. But it's been my experience through operating shelters that it's actually helping us just as much. It changes who we are and how we understand the concept of we. Like, who are we including when we say we? And so oftentimes what seems impossible is actually possible if you have the right heart, the right people, and the dire need that we have here in Portland. So I just want to lift that up, and I also want to just extend a virtual hug to you, my friend. Thank you for bringing it down to home, to the real life situation that we in the whole metropolitan area are dealing with. We're so glad and blessed that you're here today.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your comments. Absolutely. When I've been out and amongst the churches, fun facts to know and tell, there are 98 churches in the Beaverton School District attendance area. I've been to 31 of them. And if we were playing baseball, I'd be batting one for 31. You know where the one is? St. Cecilia's Catholic Church in Beaverton. Well, the priest tells me as I walk into his office, sit down and cut your spiel, Mr. Leppard. I know what the problem is. And we're going to be there for you. But we're doing it my way. And he points his finger at me and he says, remember, Mr. Leppard, my church, my rules. Now, that is so different from the typical, not to mention denomination, name a church who says, well, it's democracy. We rule by congregation and we'll vote on this and we'll debate it. Yeah, that's a nice way to shove Arnie out the door. And the only other way to shove him out, if you're phoning for an appointment, is, well, Mr. Leppard, I'm sorry. He or she is busy right now, right away from the office. I'd be glad to put you on voicemail. Voicemail is the same as throwing it in the wastebasket because nobody ever checks their voicemail. And there's some other... I'll talk about this. Some churches don't like it. Don't like the idea of the program and certainly don't like the opportunity, as I would say, to work with other faiths, other congregations, to solve a world problem, a problem in our neighborhood. I had an interview with a very large Protestant church, and when I got to the point of who we were working with, who some of our allies were, he stood up and he said, this interview's over, Mr. Leppard. We don't work with Muslims or Mormons. I thought this was 2017. I thought we were in a new time zone. I thought we had passed all that, and we have not passed all that. So, it isn't roses. I had an interview with a pastor of the fourth largest Protestant church in Oregon. He was very nice to me, very cordial. And I was sitting explaining the Family Promise program to him, and he reaches over and he grabs my arm and he said, Mr. Leppard, I have a sudden need to pray with you. And I said, well, yeah, it's okay. kind of the blue, but I can handle it. And it's a part. Let's get down on our knees. Well, you know, I was honest with them, and I'm 81 years old. I can get down on my knees, but I don't know about getting up on my knees. And that's reality. And he thought that was funny, but he dragged me down on my knees anyway. So it was a very nice prayer. It was a nice prayer. And he prayed for the concept of family promise, and he prayed that I'd have the energy to kind of keep on the recruiting trail. And he closed the prayer, and as we're struggling to get up, and he said, and by the way, the answer to your question is no. Sometimes prayer is cheap, you know. And I can see that it's getting time, and I just wanted to be a little schmaltzy here, because I like Broadway music. But we have guests that often ask to play the piano, and certainly we always let them. And one time, one of our helpers was there with a sax, and he was playing for us, nice mellow sax. It was gorgeous. We love to have that music while we're doing the meal. Well, he was playing West Side Story music. With me. Tony and Maria. And what does Tony sing to her? Somewhere there's a place for us. So that's what I want to close with. Somewhere there is a place for us and them and we. So I appreciate your attention. I'll be glad to hang out wherever you want me. And I'll get another cup of coffee. Thank you.
Thank you.